Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Vardhman Special Steels Q3 and 9 months FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Deepika Murarka from Choice Equity Broking. Thank you and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Faizan. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Choice Equity Broking, welcome to the Q3 and 9 months FY23 post-earnings conference call of Vardhman Special Steel Limited. I also take this opportunity to welcome the senior management team. On today's call, we have with us Mr. Sachit Jain, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, and Mr. Sanjeev Singla, Chief Financial Officer. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as of the date of this call. These statements are not guarantee of future performance and involve risk and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I now invite Mr. Sachit Jain for the opening remark to be followed by a question and answer session. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Vardhman Special Steels call. In addition to the names mentioned, I have with me Mr. Rivardi, our Executive Director and Chief Executive Officer, Sonam, our CFO, and Company Secretary, and my daughter, Soumya. When this year began, I had said that this year we will make no forecast because there have been so many evils in terms of ups and downs in commodity prices, which were way beyond anything we have ever experienced. And that continued. In Q3, we have had a decent performance, but we have also been got the benefit of the past government levy, a subsidy that is due to us of GST. So that has come in, as well as for the 9 months of this year, we have accounted for this quarter. What I will do is I'll ask Mr. Singla to go through the numbers, and then we are available for Q&A. So over to you, Singla.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon, everybody. During the quarter, we achieved total 46,350 tons of sales, which is higher by 3.5% over the corresponding quarter of last year. In terms of rupees, it is exactly 400 crores as compared to 360 crores in the corresponding quarter. EBITDA is 50 crores in the current quarter as against 40.76 crores in the corresponding quarter of last year, registering 22% increase. EBITDA per ton, including other income, stands at 10,700 rupees. Similarly, for the 9 months period, we achieved a total sales of 150,000 tons, and this is in line with our overall target of 195,000 tons to be achieved in the current financial year. In terms of revenue, it is 1,312 crores, registering 28% increase over the corresponding 9 months period. And 9 month period, EBITDA stands at rupees 10,000 rupees a ton. So which is also well within the range as guidance given by the management from time to time, from 7 to 10,000 rupees a ton. So that's all on the performance of this third quarter as well as 9 months period. Now I request further question answers session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ritwik Sheth from OneUp Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I have two questions. Firstly, would it be possible to share the split of the electricity incentive and the GST in the other income?
In other income, about 7.7 crore is GST, and rest is electricity duty exemption.
Okay, so that is about 3 crores.
Yes.
Okay, sure. Thank you. That is helpful. And so and my next question is on the potential greenfield project. So would you like to comment, Sachit sir, anything on this, any updates, anything that you would like to highlight?
Nothing to report. Discussions with IT continuing, and we're going to have another visit from IT in April where the top management is coming. In fact, there's a management change which was due has been announced. The president of IT, Fujioka-san, is retiring, and from 1st of June, he will become the chairman. And the new president, Goto-san, will be taking over. So both Fujioka-san and Goto-san will be coming here in April, when we will be celebrating 50 years of the steel business of Vardhman Group. Not Vardhman Special Steels, but the steel business, because it started in March of 1973. So that's when these people are coming.
Sure. Okay, sure. And so one more question on the export progress. Last quarter you mentioned that exports is gradually picking up for the approved products. So is it on track, and are we what kind of volume are we expecting in FY24 and 25
export? So yes, it is on track, and every month the exports are increasing. So as we said, 23, the process will start. 23, 24 will pick up a little bit of steam. 24, 25 will be first year you should look at us for in terms of any substantial exports towards IT. So in 24, 25, we will be anywhere between 15 to 25,000 tons.
15 to 25,000 tons?
Yes, if all goes well to IT. In addition, there are other exports which are taking their own pace.
Sure.
Our target from 25-26 is 30,000 tons.
Right. Okay.
And this target is limited primarily by capacity.
Sure. Right. Right. And would you like to quantify the exports in this quarter volume-wise?
So that's still small.
Sure. Okay. Okay, sir. I'll come back in the queue if I have anything else. Thank you. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harshit Toshniwal from BU Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thank you. So, am I audible, sir?
Yes, very audible. Very clearly audible.
Okay. So thanks a lot, sir. So, sir, wanted to get some sense of the business. I'm new to the new to your company's investor call. So, what I can understand is that these are specialty products in steel, which are used in automotive engineering, etc. But if you can help me segregate that, is it more like steel casting businesses, which we see, and is steel casting also a part of our business?
No, so we make forging quality steels only. We make alloy steel bars, which goes into forging components, which goes into various moving parts of the vehicle. So it will be going into rods, so connecting rods, crankshafts, pins, piston pins, gears, and primarily cars is our biggest segment. Two wheelers are the second biggest segment. Together, these two segments is roughly 70% of sales. And our business is almost 98% is automobile sales. Maybe 1 to 2% some on and off in itself to some kind of bearings. Not really the top class bearings, but some of the different levels of bearings. So that is our business model. And one point I want to make everybody aware ESG, if that is important to you, because that is becoming important globally, as far as carbon footprint is concerned, we have just measured our carbon footprint. Our carbon footprint as a company is at 0.85 scope 1 and scope 2. Most of our competitors will be in the range of 2.5 to 3. So that was most of the competitors are all from blast furnace route. So their carbon footprint is significantly higher than ours. And we are already announcing a plan that by 2030 our carbon footprint will be below 0.5, and by 2050, which is well ahead of India's target. India's target is 2070 for net zero, but our partners, Aichi, they targeted 2050 to be net zero. So Vardhman Steel has also targeted 2050 to be net zero on carbon footprint, scope 1 and scope 2. Okay? So that's one thing I want to bring to the notice, since you are new and on this factor we have not yet commented. So this is the first time we are coming out. We just got the carbon footprint measure. It was presented to our board only this meeting for the first time. So we are getting ready with this. And another interesting thing for all investors and analysts out here, that customers are beginning to talk about it. They're talking about circular economy. In fact, as we speak today, there's a major auto OE for an audit here in our plant, and that top technical man in the morning told me about the circular economy and how carbon footprint is becoming an issue for them. So very clearly, this is going to become a bigger and bigger issue. And Vardhman Special Steels, amongst all the major steel companies in our segment, is the best placed by far to take advantage when this becomes a customer requirement. As of now, let me also put in a caution, it is not a customer requirement. It is not even a customer preference as of now, but people are talking about it. So this is one. And the second issue I wanted to bring to the notice of everybody out here is under the PLI scheme, Vardhman Special Steels expansion plans have got approved under the PLI scheme. And the people who've been here in the pause earlier would remember, I had said I had said on this forum that we were not sure whether we will get approval under PLI, but we went ahead and applied, and we got approved. So we are expecting about, if all goes well, if we meet all the targets, roughly 30 crore rupees in the next 5 years will accrue to us, and starting from 2 years from now. So between 2 years from now and 5 years from now, we should get about 30 crores under the PLI scheme.
Okay, got it. No, I think thanks for the clarification then. But one more aspect which I wanted to touch upon. For the sake of comparison, I'll try to draw that. Say, for example, we also supply to players like Caterpillar, JCB, and many of these require steel casting components. So sand-based casting.
We are not in the steel casting business. We are only in the forging quality steel. That is our only segment.
Okay.
We have no plans in the foreseeable future to get into that casting segment. This is the primary segment we intend to remain in.
Got it. Sir, out of intuitiveness, one thing. So when we look at the EBITDA per ton number, right? So many of the casting players in India, they make around 40,000-50,000 rupees per ton versus our product at 10,000. So I just want to understand that, does that cast, so is it practically very difficult for us to expand those, that TAM? Or how should we look at it? Is it very niche segment?
Our public stance has been that our range is 7,000 to 10,000 rupees EBITDA per ton. At present, this year also, we are at the higher end of our range. So to, please do not expect anything more than this. However, we have said that 2024-25 onwards, once we get the full benefit of IC volume kicking in, we will like to target 12, up to 12,000. So we would like to up the range from 7 to 10 the range would be up to 10 to 12. This is what we hope, but we have not yet said that. So please, for all practical purposes, evaluate us from 7 to 10,000 rupees if it happens.
Understood, sir. Understood. No, I completely take that point, but I just want to understand that maybe a separate vertical like steel casting, why is it so difficult for
us? We are not interested and we don't look at any other segment than our segment. We've got a blinkered view. We only look at our segments and not interested in even evaluating, looking at the margins or other things. There's no point in doing that because those areas are not of interest to us.
Got it. One last thing, that our capacity, if you can give some color on the expansion plans or what utilizations we are at today.
As of now, our capacity is 200,000 tons of rolled product. And we are taking our rolling capacity to about 230,000 tons next 2 years. And we will take our melting capacity to 250 to 260. So you may please presume that our capacity will be 230,000 tons of sellable material in 2 years' time. So actually, the year 25-26. But somewhere in the end of 24, we will get this full capacity of rolled product.
Understood, sir. Perfect. Got it. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the question queue. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Udaya Prakash from Value Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Sir, this is regarding a plan, something you said in the last phone call. You said that you are planning to approve a brownfield expansion of 250 to 300 crores. So can you give the timeline on that expansion plan?
So this is part of this capacity enhancement. So this will take place over the next 3 to 4 years. So all is not linked to just just capacity. Some is linked to quality. Some is linked to quality assurance. Some R&D testing. Some environmental expenditures. Some more land. Some building, warehousing. Some total of all of that.
And the financing costs would be from internal accruals, or are we planning to take any debt for this?
It'll be internal accruals and some incremental debt. And our partners, Aichi, have also indicated that at some stage they may increase their stake in the company from the current 11.5%. So at some stage in the next 2 to 3 years, they may increase their stake to around 20-22, something like that. But these are all nebulous numbers. This is all if and when it happens. Their interest is there, and we have discussed this in the past. So at some stage, that may happen.
Okay, sir. My second question pertains to
Let me clarify this. We do not need that equity for our current foreseeable plans. So our plans will not change.
This is from the IT side only. That is not our intention to raise equity.
Yes. This is the only equity infusion in the next 2 to 3 years that will happen, and that will happen only if Aichi decides that they want to increase their stake. Vardhman Special Steel does not need any more equity capital at this point with the current announced expansion plan.
Okay, sir. My next question is pertains to the power and fuel cost. Sequentially, it has marginally decreased, but will it stay at the same level for the next couple of quarters, or is there any scope for reduction here?
The fuel costs are likely to decrease because we have our gas pipelines being laid by GAIL, which should come in. It was supposed to have come in by January. It should come in by April or so.
Yes,
And once it comes in, our gas costs will definitely be lower, assuming the current level of international prices of gas. So everything else remaining same, our costs will come down from 1st of May. Maybe April. All depends on the pipeline of gas.
Thank you, Mr.
Uday
Prakash. I recommend that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. We'll take the next question from the line of Nikhil Chandak from JM Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, you know, my question was on the capacity expansion. So, you know, as you said in the beginning that there is enough demand from Aichi going forward, but we will be capacity constrained. So I'm just thinking, is there a, you know, or why is the company going more cautious on the capacity expansion? Is it that, you know, the brownfield or the greenfield plan, you know, is getting more delayed, is not being penciled in together? What exactly is the issue why we're not going aggressive on the capacity expansion? Because the demand opportunity is clearly there. But, you know, are we missing out the opportunity to fasten the capacity expansion?
I think it's a very, very important question you've asked. And supposing it was only Vardhman Steel, there's no Aichi, this capacity expansion would have happened. Okay? We would have taken little these steps now. But please understand, the benefit that we get from Aichi's working is their systematic planning and their ability to look at each step before you take the next step. Because just now, please understand, our exports to Aichi have just started. Let them reach the customers. Let them get the customers use the product. Let feedback come in. And then the setting the production processes, the way the Japanese work, and this is something more and more Indian companies need to learn, how to make sure that you make sure that everything is going smoothly before you take the next big step. And please understand that for us, the next plant is going to be roughly double the size of the existing plant. So one, it requires a lot of capital. And two, we don't want to dilute unnecessarily. We might have to raise capital for that. So as the company's balance sheet becomes even stronger, the need for outside capital will be very, very low. That is one. And two, once we are established completely with Toyota Group and their trust comes in that, yes, we can deliver, then the taps can be opened for further business. So I guess we are all waiting to see that establishment of the business with them coming. The plans, they are already planning on our expansion. So it's not that they are very tight. But when to sign, when to signal that we are ready to start, that is a question mark. So this is the reason why, seemingly when there's an opportunity, why are we not heading into it straight away?
Understood. But would that mean that, you know, and by the time you say the capacity comes on stream, it will take a couple of years. So would that mean in the interim, from a growth perspective, there could be some kind of, say, softness or, you know, maybe not a very high percentage growth because you would be full up on capacity utilization?
So we have a plan B and a plan C. So, but I'm not at liberty to share those plans as of now.
Thank you, Mr. Chandak. May we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. We'll take the next question from the line of Prolin from GMO. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sajit. Thank you for taking my question. A first question would be on to understand your EBITDA per ton slightly better. Now, you include other income, and I know that there is a GST benefit there, plus a power cost benefit there. Now, in the past call, you have mentioned that both of these each are somewhere close to 8 to 10 crores, and GST is there going to be, this benefit is going to be there for another 7 years, 6 to 7 years, if I'm not wrong. In terms of power rebate that you get, what is the sunset clause here? Is it for certain years that you are going to get the benefit? And additionally, sir, for this year's number, if I look at the other income, it's quite high compared to what you have reported in the past. And I think there are some past overdues which are part of current year's number. So if you can help me understand what are those past overdue so that I can remove those from the
point
number and look at.
So about 9 crores.
Other income includes this incentive includes 7.7 crores of the GST benefit.
For the 9 months.
So this 7.7 crore is for the 9 months and out of this about 5 crore is for the previous 6 months and 2.7 crore pertains to the quarter 3. So only 5 crore is pertaining to the previous 6 months.
Okay. So no sir, I was looking at the 9 months number. In that, is there any number which pertains to the previous...
No, this is sustainable. I'm just saying from this quarter, if you remove the 5 crore, the other part is sustainable for the next 7-8 years.
Yes.
Okay, understood. Underpass is
every quarter.
Next 7-8 years.
Yeah, every quarter.
Okay. So if I remove the 5 crores from the current year's number, our EBITDA
from the current quarter's
yeah. number, the EBITDA per ton is close to 9,600 rupees, right? And which is the sustainable number is what you are, highlighting. Am I correct, sir?
Correct.
Okay. So a broader question would be, you have always maintained this 7 to 10,000 EBITDA per ton kind of a range, and you just answered
No. We have not always maintained. If you have been attending our company's numbers, 4 years, 5 years ago, we were 4,500 to 6,000 rupees. Then we upped it from that to 6,000 to 7,500 range. And then we upped it further again. So it is as the company is having better grip on its operations, as it is expanding, as it is developing a better product, which combination of all of these has led to the range. So 5 years ago, we were 4,500 to 6,000. Even 4 years ago. Sorry.
Yes.
So in the last 4 years, we have upped this range from 4,500 to 6,000. From that to 7 to 10, with the guidance that our target will be 10 to 12.
Right. So I'm looking at the EBITDA per ton for the last 9 quarters, and the number my calculation is somewhere close to 10,000 rupees on a mean, and even if I look at median, it's similar kind of a number, 9,800 rupees. So is there a need to probably narrow down this guidance further? Because
No. 8, 9 just now, we don't have that confidence. Please look at our company at 7 to 10 as of now.
Fair, sir. Whatever might be the EBITDA per ton level, sir, my question would be that apart from the export element, is there any product mix change which will help you move higher in the EBITDA per ton kind of a...
Yes.
I assume that there are some imported, the steel that we are supplying. India and Indian manufacturers or some of the Korean manufacturers import fair bit of that steel as well. So, is that also a case of import substitution, and if you can give us some color on how is that going?
So those are all under development, discussion and so on, but you are right. If we are going to be under the capacity crunch, then some of the lesser profitable products will go out of the basket and some better products would come in. So clearly we should be able to maintain this, and once we have the confidence that we can beat this, only then we'll be up the range.
Great. Sajidji, I'll come back in the queue, but thank you a lot for this clarity.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Mohammed Patel from Care Portfolio Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So what explains the slow growth in volumes YOY and degrowth in volumes quarter on quarter?
So one thing, please do not look at us from quarter to quarter sequentially levels. Please look at us annually, because lot depends. We are not a primary demand company. We are a secondary and a derived demand. So demand as comes from the companies. So a lot of it also depends on the inventory in their systems and so on. So December and shutdown. So December, second half, many of the auto companies took shutdown. They always take shutdowns. And therefore, suddenly we had a drop in sales compared to what we were expecting. And January sales have caught up. So we are back on track. And we are on track to meet our 195 to 200,000 tons, what we had given a guidance in terms of sales for the full year.
Okay.
What you will see is, you will see inventory levels rising. because we have a shutdown in our rolling mill in June for our expansion in preparation for our rolling mill expansion. And therefore, we're building up stocks, finished good stocks that our customers don't suffer. And you will see a buildup already in the 31st December figure, third quarter Q3 figure, there's a buildup of inventory. And then we have further buildup of inventory in Q4. And then in June, in the shutdown, we will be using up most of this excess inventory. And 30th of June, end of Q1 of next financial year, we should be back at close to normal levels of inventory.
There is also an improvement on EBITDA per ton. So if this is explained by the percentage of products or volume which is value added.
Can you repeat the question, please?
EBITDA per ton, excluding other income, also improved. So what explains this and what percentage of volumes are value added as of today and how this percentage will look like going forward?
Any changes in minor changes between the 7,000 to 10,000 we will not be explaining. Okay? Because this is a normal range and this is the fluctuation keeps happening because of a little bit of raw material prices going up or down. And once a little bit of product mix change between quarter to quarter, you know, every product is not running continuously. Some products run once in 2 months and once in 3 months, depends on sales. So within this performance of 7 to 10, we will not be explaining. And if we see some things changing, we will signal that in advance, provided we see it. Yeah, one thing it is important for everyone to understand that till now, Q3 prices with OEs have not been settled. So we have gone ahead with the assumption because all invoicing is that the prices which are prevailing till 30th September. So Q3 has been at the same prices as Q2. And if there's any change in those prices as settled with the OEs, that will change the numbers, which will have an impact in Q4, either positive or negative. We have asked the OEs for an increase in prices in Q3, and the OEs are all asking for a reduction in price in Q3. So this is where we are at. One OE has already given an increase in Q3. So the OE that has given an increase that has been incorporated, but for all other business, we have maintained the same prices. So for all purposes, please assume that there is that little bit of uncertainty, and whatever is down or up will get factored in Q4.
Thank you, Mr. Patel. May we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devang Sanghvi from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead. Mr. Sanghvi, your line is in talk mode. Please go ahead with your question.
Am I audible now?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you are.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. My question is regarding the volume guidance for next year. What we are targeting for next year in terms of volume for FY24?
So this year, we are again not going very aggressive in volume because, as I told you, next year will be more of a stabilization mode with the IT business increasing. So these are very high quality requirements. We want to make sure that those products run well. And so next year is more of a consolidation mode as a company. We expect maybe I'm making a guess just now. We have not made our numbers for next year, but I would expect around 210,000 tons. It would be the sales for next year. But
right,
that figure, when we have the call after Q4, that is when we will have a better forecast. As of now, this is what I think we should be targeting.
Right, but the product mix would improve next year from current year. Is that a good understanding?
Again, the impact will be minor. As I said, any impact of Aichi business as of now is negative.
Okay.
Because of the cost which are associated with making those products, with the fees we pay, everything. The real benefits of IT businesses start coming from 24, 25, and 25, 26.
Right.
Right,
sir.
And at least I want to, lest I not be misunderstood, there are enough positives with IT. I'm just thinking about the financial part of the number of positives we had with this association is absolutely fantastic. So this is the best thing that has happened to Vardhaman Special Steel.
Yes, I absolutely agree and I understand that. My second question is, how is the movement of the cost like scrap and electrodes in this current quarter as Q4 compared to the Q3 average?
Almost similar. It's very difficult to put exact numbers because there is fluctuation, but it is changes are minor, if at all. And it, we had taken a position on electrodes, graphite electrodes. At one time, we had built up a stock of 1 year's worth of electrodes, and those stocks have come down to normal levels now. So it was a position we took. I don't normally take positions, but at that time, when the prices were really low, we took a position, and now prices are stable, so we have cut down to normal inventory levels.
Right, sir. And sir, regarding the CAPEX, how much we have done in 9 months for the current fiscal year, and what is the target for the full year, FY 24 and 25?
Not material.
It's not very significant this year, up till now.
Thank you, Mr. Sangvi. May we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of J. Ketan Shah from Capital PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Congratulations, sir, for a great set of numbers.
So thank
I
you.
Wanted a bit of a macro, background as in how the demand is, shaping up, and if you can even tell us within the automobile sector, like where do you see more traction, whether it's in more in the commercial space or in the pass car space, or the lighter or the medium commercial space, if you could throw some light there. And even geographically, where do you see the demand has been resilient even in such scenario, such global environment that we have, if you could just throw some light on there.
So I am very optimistic about the demand scenario. I will not be able to speak that quarter to quarter or even next year. But as of now, I think India is sitting on a phenomenon of opportunity, and that positivity has just about begun. So that is one. Second, specifically about our industry, very clearly the cars seem to be on a roll, and that demand continues to be strong. And if further to that is the announcement by the government that 1 million older vehicles are going to be scrapped, then clearly when you're going to scrap 1 million old vehicles, then there will be demand, there will be a further spur to demand for newer vehicles. So that is clearly going to happen. Now, whether it happens next year or the impact of that will happen after that, but clearly demand is increasing. Two-wheelers seem to be a little subdued. So that part is a little subdued. Commercial vehicles anyway doesn't make much of an impact to us because we don't much serve the commercial vehicle business. So for us, the most important segment is the car segment, which is robust and going strong.
Okay. And so second part, just, taking cue from what you said that you had some OEM inspecting and visiting your facility. So, sir, I want to understand that even for external OEMs, like the European and US OEMs, if we are supplying to them, what is it that is driving them to approach Vardhman Steel? Is it like a China plus one thing, or is it because of our quality and our niche that, we are able to attract customers?
Yeah. So, with Europeans, I don't think we have many European customers that are stable. So, I think if any vehicle, any steel going to European vehicles, even indirectly, I think would be less than 10%, maybe even 5% of our steel, right? I don't recall any European OE as a customer. So whatever it is minuscule. So, but the other customers who are coming to us is, one, our quality. More importantly, our service and responsiveness. And now the new customers coming to us is all because of once they know that IC is our partner, they know that quality, servicing, testing, R&D, latest products, everything will be available with us. So we will have a massive advantage compared to all our competitors in the next 3 to 5 years. And in addition now, which I shared in response to another question earlier, as this carbon footprint becomes a bigger and bigger issue across the world, more and more people are going to be coming to steel people like us. And I don't think, as I see across the country today, amongst all our major competitors, I'm not saying against all steel players, against all our major competitors, we stand almost alone in terms of the low carbon footprint that we have and plan to lower it further. So I'm seeing in the next, when will this impact happen? I don't know. Will it happen next year? Will it happen 2 years from now? But it is clearly a trend which is happening. We are seeing that in a textile business. In a textile business, sustainability is a first issue. All customers come and ask, what are your sustainability plans? So ESG, as it becomes important, is going to become very, very, it's going to drive in our segment also. The other thing I wanted to share with everybody out here is not a direct response to your question, but we have planted a 5-acre forest, a Miyawaki forest, 52,000 trees. We'll be sharing some photographs when we write the annual report. But this forest has come out very well, and all customers who come and visit this forest in the heart of industrial area are very happy with this. And we will be planning, that is 5 acres. This year we plan to plant 10 acres of forest. And in the next 15 years, my target is to plant 1,000 acres of forest in Punjab. So this is my own personal mission that we'll be doing this to improve the environment out here. And hopefully at some stage when companies and customers start valuing this, it will add value to for our attractiveness as a company to buy steel from.
Thank you, Mr. Shah. May we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. The next question is from the line of Vipul Sanghvi from Systematics. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Jain.
Yeah,
so my question is on the capacity. Like we are at 220,000, right, as of now.
220,000 tons of melting and about 200,000 tons of rolled.
Correct. So, sir, are you on track get to 250,000 tons?
Melting, yes. Yes, we are on track. In 2 years' time, we'll be there.
So by end FY25, we'll reach there, right?
250 to 260. Again, very difficult to be very, very precise about it, but 250 would be safe.
And our investment target of 5 years of putting in a capex of 250 to 270 crore is also on track, right, sir? That is...
Yes. Maybe a bit delayed because the machinery availability is... all lead times for machines has become much longer than we had anticipated. So this is this will take a bit longer. But still, by 25, we would be done with a large part of our capex.
All right. And that will be good for getting us to 300,000 ton capacity, right?
No. As of now, we are not saying anything beyond this 260,000 tons melting.
All right.
Yeah. Rolling mill capacity would be higher. Because with the investments we are making, the rolling mill should give us a bigger capacity, which will give us a possibility of getting billets from outside to roll within the plant. So all those possibilities could come up. But we will explore those areas after 25.
Hello?
The current participant has left the question queue. We'll move on to the next question from the line of Anshul Mittal from Care PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello. So I wanted to ask that the presentation mentions that Vardhman will do forward integration into specialized forging plant. If you can explain this better, is this part of the greenfield expansion right now?
No, this is not. When we are speaking greenfield, we are talking about a steel plant. This is a directional statement that we intend to get into that area. There is no timeline which has been put out there. We're just sharing. We believe our shareholders are partners of the company, so they should know what the thinking of the management is. There are no concrete plans at this point, but suffice it to say, Aichi Steel, our partner company, they are the largest forging companies in the world, and they make large part of the forgings for Toyota Group. And intention is to have a specialized precision forging operations in India. Now, whether it will happen in the next 2 years or 3 years, as I said, I don't have any timeline.
Okay.
So, for all practical purposes, for any valuation purposes, please ignore that statement. It is just a directional statement that we will intend to get into that area.
Okay, understood, sir. Also, sir, I wanted to understand what are the terms of royalty payment with Aichi?
I'm sorry, what do you mean by terms?
With Aichi, what are the terms and agreement in terms of royalty payment as well?
It's a 3-year agreement, but beyond that, we don't share any specifics about the agreement that we have. But I can tell you it is all-encompassing. Any area that we have an issue in, our Aichi people are there to support us. 3 members are here posted with us full-time, and there are 7 to 10 members in the head office who are at backup, who are supporting us. And in addition, any expert in some other area that is required is available to us. They are approaching customers on our behalf, and they are marketing our products to Japanese OEs. So, beyond that, any fees that you're paying is less than the value that is getting accredited to the company. But beyond that, whatever information is there in the balance sheet. Anything other than that, we will not be discussing under terms and conditions. As regards the product that they are buying, there will be always an arm's basis, because that is a commercial transaction of business.
Okay. So FY23 is a year of manufacturing of trial orders for Aichi. And so how are things shaping up as of now?
That is all begun, and already our products have started reaching some of the Aichi Forge factories. Trend is already reached. They've already used that product. And Indonesia is on the way. So all that process is on track.
So this Q3 and Q4 invoice by the Aichi contribution?
It's minuscule. So please, those numbers are so small, doesn't make any sense to look at those numbers. Next year, you'll see a little bump. But 24, 25, and I've been saying this for the last 2 years, that please look at any contribution of business from Aichi only from 24, 25.
Okay, understood, sir. So last question from my end. What percentage of our volumes will be value added as of today, and how? What are you expecting going forward?
We don't share those numbers because everything is value added. There could be some thick products with a value added customer. There could be a value added, more complex product which makes low margin. So this is a whole basket of products. Auto industry is all value added. So we are already stayed away from the tractor segment, which is a low value added. Stayed away from the commercial vehicle segment, which is low value added. So anywhere where quality and service is not a requirement, we stay away from such business.
Okay, sir. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prolin from GMO. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks once again for giving me this opportunity, and just want to congratulate you on, having such great numbers in terms of the carbon angle, scope 1 and scope 2. My question is on PLI. What kind of capex would you require to get this benefit of 30 crores per year from 2 years from now?
No. It's not 30 crores per year. It is 30 crores total, which is why we have never looked at it very seriously. The impact on the company is not too big. It is 30 crores total.
30 crores total. But what kind of capex will this require? Because this would be on incremental capacity.
So whatever CapEx plan that we have already announced is includes this. We are not making any additional CapEx because of the PLI scheme.
Okay, okay. So
as we said that we were not expecting to get approved. So this was not part of our factoring anything into this. It just this came as a bonus.
Understood, understood. And staying with this PLI, and you have you know, plan A, plan B, plan C for your expansion. Does this PLI changes everything in terms anything
no.
in terms of probability
no.
of any plan?
PLI has changed nothing. It is just 30 crores coming into our pocket, which we very gladly accept because it will help us that initially the extra costs that we take for making these high quality products, we will get some cushion. So we are thankful it was required, but we had not factored this into our calculations earlier. So this is a welcome addition.
Understood. That's it, sir. Thanks a lot for this. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chaitanya Rao, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, please.
Actually, sir, I am a new investor in your company.
I'm sorry, your voice is very muffled. Yes, Chaitanya, you are not very clear. Are you audible?
Hello, is it audible now?
No, you are audible. You are very audible. I think it was muffled. Yeah, this is better. Yeah, this is better. Yeah.
This is better?
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry for the inconvenience. Actually, I was saying I'm a new investor in your company and recently researching about your company, like I got to know about the fact that you are into melting the old steel which you get from cars and other things that contributes your main raw material. So can you just give your insights about the recently introduced 15-year scrap of the scrapping policy of the old vehicles? Like how will this affect your company? How will it affect your cost and import cost and profitability?
So one, this is a very welcome move, and this is something that the industry has been asking the government for, and it's there in every other country, that we have to have a healthy scrap industry. So scrappage of old vehicles is very, very welcome step that the government has taken. This has three benefits, of course, reducing overall pollution, two, generating scrap, so which means we should have more scrap availability as more and more companies demand more scrap usage, so scrap availability will help to maintain prices. And third, it creates demand for new vehicles, because as old vehicles go off the road, there will be demand for that many more vehicles, which means there will be more demand for our products.
Good, good. And sir, lastly, just wanted to reconfirm about the PLI scheme, that 30 crores. I just missed that point. So can you just repeat that for me?
So 30 crores is the total, roughly 30 crores, the total benefit under PLI that Vardhman Special Steels will get in the next 5 years, and nothing will kick in before 25. So it will be 30 crores in 25, 26, 26, 27 and 27, 28. So in those 3 years, we should get this roughly 30 crores if everything goes as per plan.
Okay, okay. No, nothing from my side, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of VP Rajesh from Banyan Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is just trying to understand how your contribution to four-wheeler versus two-wheeler will change as the new capacity comes online that you talked about earlier on the call.
So currently it's about 38%. It should jump to about 45%, or our target will go up to 50% passenger vehicles.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, from 38 to... I would say up to 50, about 45 to 50%.
Okay. And relatedly, are you seeing any turn in the two-wheelers in India right now? Or as you know, the OEs came out with their numbers, it looks pretty subdued. So what's your sense of when sort of the demand will start coming back?
I think they're talking a little bit, but as of now, nothing significant that we are seeing.
Okay. And then lastly, on the Aichi partnership, you talked about the benefits that will accrue to us. Could you say as to why partnership, what are they getting out of it?
Sorry?
My question is that, you know, you talked about the benefits that will come to our business in the Aichi partnership. So what is your sense of the benefits that they are getting from this partnership?
So they are also getting significant benefits. One, they are getting steel at a cheaper price than Japanese steel. So that will help because it goes largely to their own forging company. So some of the profits will come to them, and some of the profits will be passed on to Toyota, I'm sure. I don't know their internal. So Toyota will benefit by getting a little cheaper product. Second, they are running at near full capacity, so they will get additional capacity from India, which will enable steel availability for Toyota's growth. And third, they will develop a second source of steel making that tomorrow it reduces the risk for Toyota. If something goes wrong in one plant, there is another plant from where steel could be made available.
Got it. Got it.
So that's why this is an ideal partnership and what I call a true win-win. There is enough benefits for Aichi, which is why they are in this business with us, and enough benefits for us. And also, please understand, Maruti Suzuki is a very important customer. All of you are aware it is in the public domain. Toyota and Suzuki are under strategic relationship, joint R&D, joint platform, and so on. So supporting Maruti Suzuki is an important part of this strategic plan of Aichi. And we become the vehicle for doing that.
Got it. That's extremely helpful. And lastly, who are your main competitors?
Our main competitors would be Mukkan and Sunflag.
Sorry, what's the second name you said?
Sunflag Iron and Steel.
Okay. Got it. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sachit Jain for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you once again for showing continued interest in our company. We are aware that we've had an operational dip in numbers based on what we've had last year. So one, last year we kept saying those are unsustainable numbers. But two, because once you achieve those numbers, a dip is something that nobody likes. So our team is working extra hard to save costs, including our board has given a directive to see where all operational costs could be improved further. That next year, other than the operating income, even the sheer other than the other income, we have our operating performance improve further from the current level. So that is a directive. I'm not saying we'll be able to do it, but that is what we'll be attempting to do. I'm extremely happy with the ESG approach which is going on across the world, and we stand poised to take an advantage of that as our customers become more and more aware. Circular economy of circular steel economy is something that we are working towards. We did not discuss it this time, but in an earlier call I've already shared, solar putting in a renewable power is part of our plan. The next 2 years we'll be doing that too, to reduce our carbon footprint further and may also reduce our cost. So there are several areas working on, and I remain optimistic about our business and look forward to seeing you all in April. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Vardhman Special Steels, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.